Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
I wanted to talk about a few things where the national media is, and I'm not sure what the motivation is. It just seems that they are kind of playing the role of the henchman. They want to see bodies rolling in the streets, so to speak, suffering the consequences of the fallout of the terrorist attack, not providing a lot of details, engaging in a lot of conjecture and the like. And thus far, I've liked the response of locals here just saying, no, we're not doing that, especially when it comes to these demands as it relates to the firing of the police chief. I, for one, believe that she was the most qualified individual that had applied here. Secondly, I believe she has really begun to re-engineer the culture of the department in a very positive way, something that's not very easy to do. It's very difficult. You have to get in and learn about the nuances and the specific details within that organization. A complex organization, more so from the perspective of a lot of things are done because they've been done that way historically for a long, long time. And I always believed that it took someone from outside to come in to be the change agent, someone who was not the beneficiary of that culture. It was one of the biggest knocks that I had on some of the other candidates, is that how can you ask them to change the culture? They're the byproduct of the culture. Their success was as a result of the culture, and then you ask them to change it. It's very difficult. Not many people can do that. And that's why I always felt very strongly about bringing someone from the inside. One of the downsides, I mean, from the outside, when one of the downsides of that is that there is a learning curve, right? There's a lot to know. Especially in this city, when you think about all of the fairs and festivals that we hold here for about every living creature that ever walked the face of the earth, we celebrate everything. And if we don't have something to celebrate that is historically significant or otherwise, we make something up and we celebrate that. With that comes a lot of very detail-oriented stuff that has to happen. And you end up having to rely on a lot of people that have been here for a long time and have the institutional knowledge of the organization and hope that they're standing up and providing this information, not being a cog in a wheel and moving things along, because you just can't know it all in a very short period of time that Chief Kirkpatrick has been in this town. I appreciate her response by saying, you know, to those that keep asking these questions, no, that's not going to happen. A lot of, and I think what we'll end up finding out as it relates to the implementation of any number of things, is that this complex city organization is even made more complex when we're not really vertically integrating or horizontally integrating the necessary agencies to stand up, the ones that should know more about this than others, to take a primary and pivotal role in how we go about implementing security measures. That is one of the outcomes that I hope we reach straight up, right from the beginning, with I don't care whose investigation it is, it needs to be resolved. And those that are asked to make these things work from an operational perspective standpoint should have more say-so than others. Because consider the following. Any measure that you put in place that provides more or a heightened level of security puts your own security human capital at less risk. and actually provides an environment for them to be a little bit more nimble in the way that you're going to staff positions, move them around, where they're going to be, and everything else, relying on the effectiveness and the sanctity of those security measures. Right? So it would seem that these organizations should have the lion's share of input of how this ultimately works. You know, one of the questions with the deployment of a lot of this is that this equipment's heavy. It's big in some cases. It's hard to move around. In other cases, it takes special equipment to be able to execute on it, implement it, put it out there, install it, take care of it, manage it, do preventive maintenance and everything else. It's not like picking up a cell phone. But that's always going to be the case for the most part, because bulk and strength means heavy, and depending on the threat that you're trying to minimize, it could get bigger and bigger, and it could be more onerous at the end of the day. And there has to be a desire to make sure that the human capital is available to be able to deploy all of this equipment. But that's just as an aside. But it's an important aside, because it comes right back to, you know, historically, how have we dealt with things in the city, and whether or not it's unreasonable for a chief that's been here for a very short period of time to know all of these things, some of which is information resides in agencies that she has no control over at all. Right? Hence, interagency meetings within the organization should and could be of some value in making sure that we're dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's. As cliche as that sounds, that's about how simplistic it becomes in many respects. But there has to be a culture to do so. And unfortunately for the chief, because of the structure of city government, she's not really able and does not have that freedom to be able to do so, quite frankly. It just doesn't happen. I mean, we noticed that in the first press conference. I mean, let's be honest. Who is the most important people to hear from in the aftermath of that terrorist attack on day one? There were two people. I mean, we had 30 people there. Why? What was that for? Two people. The chief and the FBI, if they took control of that investigation. Those are the two most important people to hear from. This thing ran amok from the very beginning. All the others didn't really have much to offer as it related to the details of the specific incident. There would have been plenty of time for everybody else to talk later. This was a law enforcement event, plain and simple. Certainly, the governor and the mayor should be heard from, but it's about it. All these other people, why anybody thought that they had anything to contribute to this? And what happened was the reaction of the national media, you know, they saw that weak link, and they were off and running. And meanwhile, the reputation of the city gets impugned. And meanwhile, we're having to work two and three times harder in order to get it back, because we forgot what the primary purpose of calling that press conference was: to allay the fears of the citizenry, to try and give them as much law enforcement pertinent information as possible. And that's it. And that's it at that point in time. To get off on a tangent of who's going to say what to whom and who might want to hoard information and for how long before releasing it to the public and everything else, we have to rely on the experts as it relates to those issues. We have to rely on a proactive media to always probe. I don't fault them for asking the questions. No one should. That's the role that they play. Now, there has to be a level of respect when someone says, well, you know, this investigation is all but 3 or 4 hours in. What do you expect? We don't want to put out information that we have not been able to validate. Plain and simple. Put it out there, say what you got to say, and get the hell off the stage. And move on and collect your forces and try and validate as much information as you can moving forward. But we shouldn't really be on the defensive about the chief, in my view. Now, I'm glad the community is stepping up. You know, the FOP, the ministers, others who have worked with the chief, you know, and we got the national media and others trying to point to maybe some of the failures that she had in previous, you know, places where she worked. Well, we've all had those. Any good leader is going to tell you that there's going to be a healthy number of successes, but also a number of failures as well. And the question is, how fast can you remediate those failures and move forward and make sure they don't happen again? But we don't use that as evidence of, you know, saying, oh, well, this person's got to go. Really? What do you know? Provide some details. What do you know about the structure of city government? What do you know about how much say-so this individual has on this particular issue, that particular issue, or otherwise? You don't just get rid of folks for the sake of getting rid of them, sending a message that's really just a soundbite and less than. It's not meaningful. I mean, I know that inside the Beltway, that's how they want things to happen. Heads have to roll, has to look like we're doing things. We want to influence the clicks every morning. All that is instability. It's why they're polling at nothing. No one has any respect for any of those people, quite frankly. And they've earned it, and they deserve it. And it'll continue to be that way. Until that we have some folks that stand up and they want to talk about bipartisan this and bipartisan that, will act in a bipartisan way. I saw an interview with John Fetterman yesterday, you know, and I know he's taken a lot of grief because of the health issues he had and everything else. But I got to tell you what, he makes more sense than any other Democrat that I've seen. You know, he's kind of wondering, why is this so controversial for me to sit down with prospective appointees by incoming president-elect Donald Trump? That's my job. It says so. That's one of the things I'm supposed to do. Why am I getting beat up by my own party for sitting down and listening to what these people have to say and judging for myself whether or not I believe that they're worthy of the job? I mean, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. Now, I don't know about you, but I am glad that we are standing up here locally and we're not going to let inside the belt politics dictate how we are going to manage not only this situation, but have others telling us what we need to do about our chief. So let me get on to something else. I don't know if I have all the facts on this particular issue, but they seem to want to beat up on the chief for being brutally honest about whether or not she knew something or not. Consider the alternative, that she never tells the truth. I would much rather have somebody say, unfortunately, I did not know about those. I did not know that we had the ability to do certain things. I applaud her for saying it. Because if that's the truth, so be it. I'm glad she said it. And I, for one, would not. In fact, I welcome that. It is, I don't know about you, for me it was refreshing. In light of everything that I just said about institutional knowledge, you know, she hadn't been here that long, and there's little nuances that, you know, there are things that you're going to pick up over the period of time. I was a beneficiary of being a number two to a number one for a dozen or so years, so I knew a lot when I took the position because I was the operations guy and the money guy at the same time. There's no better combination, quite frankly, if you want to learn about an institution in a really quick way. But unfortunately, you really can't because they're so very complex, these organizations. But the fact of the matter is that we should welcome this honesty. Can you name three others that are deadpan honest like that? I can't. I'm certainly not going to punish her for saying, I simply did not know that we had that equipment. Fact of the matter is, probably no one told her. I mean, you know, no one told her. And that very much goes to execution here, you know, and it's one of the byproducts of when you bring someone from the outside, certain things can tend to reveal themselves. But all things considered, I want this chief to stay. And I hope we continue to push back. Actually, what I hope we do is just ignore these people. Right? Just ignore them. Why should we give them any credit for anything that they're saying when they don't even know what's going on? They don't have a clue. And they simply want to get us caught up into the web of inefficiency and being ineffective and the disaster that we call inside the Beltway, Washington, D.C. Well, I don't know about you, but I don't want it. I don't want it at all. So we're going to get to a break, and I'm going to talk a little bit about this SEER 1 rating. Happen to know a little bit about it. Happen to have engaged in a lot of discussions about it when I was sheriff on the Homeland Security Committee for the National Sheriff's Association, as well as major county sheriffs, of what our expectations are and what actually is going to be delivered. And I think that there is a huge delta between the two. And what I don't like is I think that people are talking about things in a way to instill fear in people in order to get them to be more compliant. That's not a healthy exercise, and that's not good for us. It's not good for the culture of Mardi Gras, and we're better than that, and we need to be bigger than that. We'll be right back.